ladies, if you go to Psalm 144, we're going to start there. We'll be there just briefly for you folks who come on Wednesday evenings. This is going to be a tad bit of a review for you, just a brief one, a quick one. I want to use it to set the foundation for the remainder of the message. It will be a little bit on what we talked about this past Wednesday night, just quickly, and then heading into some new territory tonight that I want to speak on in this service right here. Let's go together to Psalm 144. And let's stand, please, in honor of God's good book. And we're going to read these verses. Let's just read 9 through 12, okay? And so I'll read 9 and 11. Please join me on the even-numbered verses. We're in Psalm 144 and verse 9, where David said in his prayer, "I will sing a new song unto thee, O God. Upon a psaltery and an instrument of 10 strings will I sing praises unto thee. It is he that giveth salvation unto kings, who delivereth David his servant from the hurtful sword. Rid me and deliver me from the hand of strange children, whose mouth speaketh vanity, and their right hand is a right hand of falsehood. That our sons may be as plants grown up in their youth, that our daughters may be as cornerstones, polished after the similitude of a palace." Dear Father, I pray that you'll open our eyes to behold wondrous things out of your law tonight. Give us, God, I pray, something for our hearts. Give us something, I pray, for our practice. And God, just cause us to be right, clean, holy, pure unto you for your name, for your cause. Help us tonight in the message. Bless the song singer and the message to follow is our prayer. Thank you, God, for this place. Thank you for church. Thank you for Sunday night church and for people who will be faithful to come. So many abandoning this service. So many abandoning this service. I mean the whole church just shutting down, Lord. I'm thankful these folks are here. They came because they wanted to, many of them, if not all of them. And I appreciate that. Give us a good time in your book tonight, in Christ's name, and amen. Thank you. Be seated.
There is a rest in every woe. There is a refuge from the foe. There is a peace this world can't know. It's in His name. There is a glow in darkest night, a dawn of hope, a guiding light. There is a help in helpless plight. It's in His name. It's in His name. His name is wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God. His name is Jesus, and He's ever the same. There is a calm when fear assails. There is a power all nature hails. There is a love that never fails. It's in His name. It's in His name. His name is wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God. His name is Jesus, and He's ever the same. There is a calm when fear assails. There is a power all nature hails. There is a love that never fails. It's in His name. It's in His name. It's in His name. His precious name.
Let's bow our heads just for a moment. I wonder who would say, heads bowed, eyes closed, just for a moment. I wonder who would say, Pastor, I needed that song. I needed that song. Yep, I see hands. I needed that song. I needed the message of that song. Somebody else? Yep, I thought so. God was in that, wasn't He? I could sense it. You could sense it. Our heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Turn your seat just into a little prayer time. Rick's going to sing it again. You need it? Talk to Him. Talk to Him. There are a lot of hands. I sense that. I sensed it. I think many needed the message in that song right there. Thank God. It's in His name. Isn't that beautiful? Isn't it wonderful? What a Savior we have. Play it, Emily. Let's sing it one more time.
Oh,
every woe. There is a refuge from the foe. There is a peace this world can't know. It's in His name. There is a glow in darkest night, a dawn of hope, a guiding light. There is a help in helpless plight. It's in His name. It's in His name. His name is wonderful. Counselor, mighty God. His name is Jesus, and He's ever the same. There is a calm when fear assails. There is a power all nature hails. There is a love that never fails. It's in His name. It's in His name. His name is wonderful. Counselor, mighty God. His name is Jesus, and He's ever the same. There is a calm when fear assails. There is a power all nature hails. There is a love never fails. It's in His name. It's in His name. It's in His name. His precious name.
Lord Jesus, we love You and thank You for Your name and thank You for who You are. Thank You for being our help, our peace, our calm. In a topsy-turvy world, help us to spend a little time with You every day. Lord, please help us to be looking for You. That great, great appearing in the sky. Help us to abide in You. Live every day with some thoughts of You so that we won't be ashamed at Your appearing. Help the one who needs help tonight, Lord. Help that one who feels like he's beyond help. Reach down, touch, do what only You can do. Thank You that the name of Jesus is what it is. There's no name like it. No name moves our hearts like Your name. Help us tonight, Lord, bring this message. Lord, help us, please, to live our lives so that they please You. You're worthy of our lives. You're worthy of us living to please You. I pray that You'd help the message tonight to bring that conclusion in many lives, and we'll thank You for it. Thank You for the good message and song. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, Psalm 144. Thank you, Rick. That was a beautiful song. It was a blessing and good for our hearts tonight. Let me give you a quick review. David's prayer. This is David's prayer after becoming the king of Israel. He's praying for the prosperity of his kingdom. And that prosperity he prays for in several different fashions. And one of those ways he is praying for prosperity is about the nation's youth. They're praying for the prosperity of the next generation. He has a twofold desire for both sons and daughters. He's not talking about his sons and his daughters only. He's talking about the sons and daughters of his kingdom. His prayer for the sons of his kingdom, his desire twofold, that they might be as plants. Plants are productive. Plants are contributing to society. Take away all the foliage from the United States of America, and you have the Sahara Desert. Not much goes on there, okay? Nobody looking to go there to spend vacation. Where are you going? To the Sahara, man. Can you believe it's a blessing? All right, take all the foliage out of this country. You've got a barren wasteland. And that's what he says, Lord. I want our boys to grow up to be productive, contributing men in our society. And then, Lord, we need the boys to grow up in their youth. You can't wait till your sons are 17, 18, and 19 to start growing them into manhood. You have to start when they are 8, 9, and 10. It's too late if you wait to 18, 19, and 20. So he says, Lord, help us to see our boys grow up to be productive, contributing men in society. Because the nation's economic level, the nation's commerce, the nation's level of productivity, if you will, rests on the shoulders of its men, the male gender. Then he has a twofold desire for the daughters of his kingdom, that they may be as cornerstones, the most precise, straight, exact, if you will, stone in the whole building in Bible days was the cornerstone. It was the stone where the two walls met. So if the cornerstone is square, the walls are square. If the cornerstone is out of square, the walls are out of square. When you get the building out of square, you got trouble. Okay? So he said, Lord, help our daughters to be as cornerstones. The exactness and the straightness, if you will, the preciseness of the female gender will create whatever moral character there is in a nation. A nation's moral character rests on the shoulders of the female gender. They help control the morality of society. I used an illustration in one of the last two or three Wednesday nights. If you go to an airport and you see a group of men traveling, they got their business suits on, there's briefcases and so forth, they're standing outside the gate, get ready to jump on the plane and go on a flight, and they're standing there, you know, just having a good time talking. And a very provocative, improperly dressed woman walks by, leaving nothing to the imagination. When she walks by, all the heads of the five or six men in the group follow her down the terminal, and then when they've looked at it long enough, they turn around. Their eyebrows are raised, their lips are pursed, and their conversation is changed. Right then. You can see it. Now, you have a woman walk by who's dressed properly and not provocative, and they just keep talking. They don't even notice that's kind of the way it's supposed to be, ladies. It's kind of the way it's supposed to, just unnoticed. Just walk by. That's what he's praying for here. See, it gets quiet every time we get on this. It is okay. And you know, it's all right, because the husband can't sit there, hey man, I try. You know, the wife's looking like, who do you think I am? So anyway, you know, so I understand that. It's okay. But it just gets so quiet. It's so funny. It gets still and quiet. It's all right. It'll probably get still and quiet later on tonight. And you'll just kind of set the tone for the message. But he said, you know, now, I want them to be morally strong, but then I want them to be adorned, if you will, he says here, polished, after the similitude of a palace. There's something else about that cornerstone. Not only was it the most exact, straight, precise stone in the building, but it was also the most beautifully adorned. It was properly adorned. Okay? Polished, if you will. And that's what he said. He said, I'm not looking for Attila the Huns with strong moral character. You know, I'm looking for that. I'm looking for females. I want a female with strong moral character, adorned with all the feminine graces that are proper to that particular gender. Now, there are several adornments. I said last Wednesday night, several adornments that you can put. Adornment just dresses something up. There are several adornments that you can put on a Christmas tree. People have different ways to adorn their trees at Christmas time. And, you know, that's left up to everybody's own choice, whatever was handed down to you from, you know, your parents and grandparents. Maybe you developed some of your own little practices, you know, over the years. But we're not talking about adorning a tree here. We're talking about adorning a particular gender with characteristics that create a graceful yet strong lady. And God lists some adornments in His Word. Let's go to 1 Peter chapter 3. 1 Peter chapter 3. And I'm not going to belabor this passage because we were there last Wednesday night. 1 Peter chapter 3. This is one of the adornments that godly women should seek to place on themselves, adorning their gender with. Chapter number 3, verse number 4. Peter says here, under the inspiration of the Holy Ghost, but let it be the hit. Okay, I'm sorry, verse number 3. Whose adorning? Let it not be that outward adorning of plaiting the hair and of wearing of gold or of putting on of apparel. Now, don't make that read what it doesn't say. And somebody said, well, you should not ever plait the hair, braid the hair, don't braid the hair, and don't wear any jewelry. But if you carry that through the end of the phrase, we got a problem. Because if it means no braiding hair, no jewelry, it also means no clothes. Now we got a problem. Okay? What is emphasis? This is emphasis. Don't major on things that man puts a premium on. Hairdos and jewelry and fashionable clothing, costly clothing, that's way out there. You know, man puts a premium on all that. Boy, he really thinks that's big. And God says, there's nothing wrong with hairstyle, and there's nothing wrong with jewelry, and there's nothing wrong with the right clothing. But don't major on that. Don't emphasize that. Don't put the priority on that. Verse number 4, but, let it be the hidden man of the heart in that which is not corruptible. Oh, that's going to, hairdos are going to change. Hair is going to fall out and turn gray. What's going to happen? From the hairdos. So he said, jewelry gets dull. Apparel goes out of style. Let it be that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God of great price. So this is what God considers premium, puts a premium on. It's what God thinks is important. His priority is this meek and quiet spirit. Now I say again, doesn't mean meek and quiet personality. This is not talking about cloning women's personality. It's talking about a spirit that every woman should possess, regardless of your personality. You can be an extrovert and still have a meek and quiet spirit. Okay? You can be funny and still have a meek and quiet spirit. You can be plain and have a meek and quiet spirit. It's not talking about personality. It's talking about the spirit, the attitude, so forth and so on. Okay? And that's what God says we should, the female gender should work to achieve as one of the adornments that I think David was praying for, polished after the similitude of a palace. Now, there's another adornment mentioned in the New Testament. Let's go to 1 Timothy chapter 2. 1 Timothy chapter 2, and another familiar passage of Scripture about the adorning of the female gender. 1 Timothy chapter number 2, and verse number 8. In verse number 8, Paul says to Timothy, I will therefore, chapter 2, verse 8, that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath and doubting. Then he says in verse number 9, in like manner also. Now that's a reference to verse 8. In verse 8, he says, I will therefore. In other words, this is God's will for men. This is God's desire for men. This is God's command to men, that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands. That means, does a pastor, do I have to pray with my hands lifted up? There's certainly nothing wrong with praying like that. I pray like that sometimes. There are probably other men in this room that pray like that sometimes. Pray with your hands up. I don't think there's anything wrong with that. But I think what he's talking about here, lifting holy hands, I think he's more talking about the condition of your heart, the condition of your spirit. You know, you're not full of ugliness and sin and the wrong kind of lust and evil and wicked heart. No. Holiness. Pray with an open heart. Pray with a holy heart. Pray with holy hands without wrath and doubting. And so that's what's the ref in like manner also. This was God's will for the men in verse number 8. Now here is God's desire for the women in verse number 9. That women adorn themselves in modest apparel, with shamefacedness and sobriety, not with broided hair, there's that braided hair, or gold, there's that jewelry again, or pearls, or costly array, costly dress. He says the women need to adorn themselves in modest apparel. Shamefacedness, that's that blushing I talked about the other night. You know, the women in our society have lost the ability to blush. They're as brazen as a wicked man. Just brazen. And they'll say things and talk about things with men, in the presence of men, that they really ought to be, that men shouldn't even be talking about amongst themselves. And the woman can be amongst the man and talk about it and laugh and giggle and carry on and never a red blush in her cheek. And that's sad. God says women need to adorn themselves with a shamefacedness. A little blush in the cheek, by the way, that's very attractive to a man. A little blush in the cheek. So shamefacedness, the blushing, a reverence. Sobriety means self-control. It's another word like for temperance. So much self-control. And then he says in verse number 10, but which becometh women professing godliness with good works. So women adorn themselves in modest apparel, shamefacedness, sobriety, and good works. Again, a reference is made to avoid putting a priority on hairstyle and jewelry or costly clothing. There's nothing wrong with hairstyle. Okay? I would not encourage all the women of this church just to wear hair straight down, you know, not do anything to it. I would not encourage it. So a hairstyle, there's nothing wrong with it as long as you don't major on it. As long as it's not the priority. As long as you're working more for a hairstyle than you are on a meek and quiet spirit. Then that's out of place. That's out of order. Okay? So that's what he's talking about here. Now, it is fairly clear to me anyway, and I hope it is, I think we're all together, it's fairly clear that David's hope for the female gender was that they, number one, set the moral character of the kingdom at a very high level. Very high level. And number two, that while doing so, they are graceful and tastefully adorned with all the feminine graces that are particular to that gender. That's his hope. That's his desire for the daughters of his kingdom. Lord, it is true. The moral character of any group, be it a family, a church, a society, will never be any higher than the collective moral character of the female gender. And if you get into a church with a bunch of loose females, you got a loose moral character church. That's just the way it is. And I didn't design it that way. God, for whatever reason, it's set like that. And so this is David's desire. He wants that female gender to set the bar real high as far as moral character goes. And the nation follows suit. I said a couple Wednesday nights ago, a man will be as loose as a woman will let him be. If he gets out of line in his verbiage and in his talk, and she says, I'm offended by your talk, he'll shut up. But if she encourages it, it's like throwing gas on the fire. So again, it's the female gender that sets that moral, the level of moral character. And yet David said, Lord, while they do that, make them graceful and feminine and beautifully adorned with all the proper adornments that fit that particular gender, okay? And one of those things included a meek and quiet spirit. And one of those things was modest dress becoming to a good Christian woman. Modest apparel. Now, years ago, Elizabeth Rice Hanford, who was one of Dr. John R. Rice's daughters, I think he had seven daughters, if I remember right, one of his daughters wrote a book entitled, Your Clothes Say It For You. That's a very proper title. Very true title. You see, clothes speak a language. Clothes send a message. Now, there's no arguing that, folks. Why do corporations have casual day on Friday? Well, they have casual day on Friday. Everybody comes dressed down a little bit. And the whole atmosphere of the office is changed on casual day. Because casual clothes send a message. It's casual. And many of them did away with casual day because their productivity went down the drain. Clothes send a message. Clothes speak a language. Now, if we're going to grow girls into ladies, ladies that have high moral character and at the same time are properly adorned, then the girls must be taught to wear clothing that speaks the proper language. Clothing that sends the proper message. Okay? Got to. Has to be done. Now, I have contended for years that biblical dress, and really this is on the part of men and women, is twofold in principle. Twofold in principle. The first principle is that of distinction. That biblical dress is distinctively male and distinctively female. Why? That's how God made mankind. In Genesis, He made them male and female created He them. There are only two genders, folks. There are no in-betweenites. They're freaks. They're out of place. I would tell you, we are headed in this country for a mess. Did you hear about the ball game in Seattle? Read in the paper, Seattle, Washington, where two lesbians were kissing and making out at the ball game, and the usher came through them out. Now, that's good, right? That's good. But You think that's going to stand up? You think that's going to stand up? We've created a monster in this country with this rights stuff that we're not going. It's galloping away from us. They're not going to be able to do anything about it. That's sickening. One of the parents complained to the usher, one of the adults complained to the usher and said, I have my children here, and I don't want them to see that trash. Thank God for that person. And I hope they gave the usher, the usher's probably put on suspended right now. And you know, Southwest, they kicked a woman off a Southwest Airlines flight for having a miniskirt so it was distracting to the people on the plane. And did you know that Southwest suspended the attendants on that flight and since has gone on a campaign to encourage women with miniskirts to come back home? So we've created a monster. We're in trouble. We're in trouble. Distinctively male, distinctively female. Here's what God said, Deuteronomy 22:5. The woman shall not wear that which pertaineth unto a man, neither shall a man put on a woman's garment. Now, I've got some things to say and preach about this, and I'm just going to wait for another message because they're not going to preach on the distinction part tonight. But I just got a question for you, and then you answer it in your own mind. What is it that a man would wear that a woman should not wear? Now, just think about that for a little while. If there's some part of a man's apparel that a woman should not wear, well, what part of the apparel would it be? Well, that's old tech. Don't come with that argument. Because it won't hold up. It don't hold water. Okay? Now, I'm going to go. I'm put that aside right now because I'm not going to speak about distinction. I am more geared up tonight for this thing of modest. And that's the other leg. That's the other principle, twofold principle of biblical dress is distinction and modesty. Modesty. And it takes both. You know what the word modest means? It means orderly and of good behavior. You want your clothes to speak for you, ladies, and you want them to send a message loud and clear. I am a woman, but wait a minute, I'm not only a woman, I am a lady of orderly and good behavior. That's the message every decent Christian woman should desire to send with her apparel. And don't say apparel's not important. God thought it important enough to write about it in His book. If there were so many things done by Jesus that were not recorded that they would fill books to fill the whole earth, then what we have in this book right here is pretty selected material. So God thought it important enough to write a few things about it. Now, modest apparel, orderly and good behavior, orderly. There is some order to our dress, both men and women. Both men and women. And I think the desire of every decent Christian woman ought to be to send the right message with your dress. Because clothes speak a language. They speak a language. Now, I want to make two statements tonight in the body of the message. Number one, what is part of this order to our dress? I'm going to give it to you biblically. Number one, the body is to be covered. It's to be covered. It's not to be uncovered. It's to be covered. 1 Corinthians 6. Let's go there. We're going to go to every verse. Here's the New Testament. Then we're going to go to Old Testament. 1 Corinthians 6, 19 and 20. Many of you could quote it. 1 Corinthians 6, 19 and 20. 1 Corinthians 6, 19 and 20. Paul wrote this at the end of the chapter. What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? For ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. God said, hey, your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. You're bought with a price. You glorify me in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Both belong to God, right? Body and spirit belong to God. Folks, you know, and you know what? Listen very carefully. You know, preaching from the pulpit in a church like this, with this many people here and more sometimes, is not always easy. Because, you know, if you had multiple, you folks have got multiple kids, you know, 4, 6, 8 children, mom has to put a meal on the table that, you know, appeals to the teenager. And, you know, it may be a little tough to swallow for the 2-year-old, But she's got to think of the 16-year-old as much as the 2-year-old. This is some heavy stuff for those of you that are new to us. You know, you think, my goodness, I just got saved this many years ago, this many months ago, weeks ago, and now you're going to talk about, tell me how I'm supposed to dress. Hey, it's heavy stuff, but it's all part of the Christian life. Okay? All part of the Christian life. And, you know, what I got tonight to say is more designed for those who've been coming here for years and years. And I want you new folks to listen in. I want you to get a groundwork of this thing because it is important. It is a part of the Christian life. God said your body belongs to me. If he owns it, he has the right to tell me how to dress it. It's called the principle of ownership. He has that right. Now, okay, if my body belongs to God and he tells me how to dress it, he wants me to dress it in an orderly and good behavior fashion, then I need to find out what he's talking about. So let's go to Exodus chapter 28. Exodus chapter 28. Adam said, the body is to be covered. The body is to be covered. Exodus chapter 28. All right? There are some texts in the Bible. I think the word naked and nakedness is used over, I think it's used 88 times in the Bible. Can't remember that exactly. There are some times when nakedness is referring to what we would call buck naked, without clothes. Okay? But there are other times in the Bible when it's referring to God's definition of nakedness, which is different than man's definition of nakedness. Exodus chapter 28 and verse number 40. Look at what he's talking here about the priestly fancy garments that the priests were supposed to wear. And for Aaron's sons, thou shalt make coats, and thou shalt make for them girdles and bonnets, shalt thou make for them for glory and for beauty. I'm glad I'm not an Old Testament priest. Amen. Thank God for that. And thou shalt put them upon Aaron thy brother and his sons with him, and shalt anoint them and consecrate them and sanctify them, that they may minister unto me in the priest's office. Now, verse 42. And thou shalt make them linen breeches to cover their nakedness. God says, I want you to make those men breeches to cover their nakedness. From the loins even unto the thighs they shall reach. The loins to the thighs. The loins to the thighs. The loins. Is God pretty, you know, God's pretty specific. Just put something on, you know, it doesn't matter. No, he said, you cover the body from the loins to the thighs. From the waist to the thighs. The last time I checked a dictionary that had, you know, the body, you know, the thigh was the part from the waist to the knee. So he said, cover up from the waist to the knee. And men ought to be covered from the waist to the knee. Now, look, I don't wear shorts. That's not by conviction. You know, I do have a conviction about this. I have a conviction that if I were to wear a pair of shorts out in public, and I'm not going to, I don't know what I wear at the house late at night and in the morning is my business, and I am at my house. But I'm not going to go around naked. And I'm not going to go around naked by Bible definition. Somebody, one of the men asked me last week about, Pastor, what about shorts? You know, what about shorts? You know, I think men ought to be covered from the thigh, from the waist to the thigh. Because God said, look at what he said again. From the loins even unto the thighs they shall reach. That is to cover their nakedness. So if any of the thigh or loins is exposed, then that's nakedness. So I said, cover from the loin. And we play ball here in our school in sweatpants. We play ball on Sunday night, you men in sweatpants. You know, it's just easier just to say, you know what? That's how we're going to play rather than go around with a ruler and see how, you know, this is a half inch too short. This is an inch. This is one. Let's just play in the pants and forget it. It's not that big a deal. Not that big a deal. But if I was to wear shorts, I wouldn't wear them shorter than my knee. By conviction. I don't wear them at all by preference. Are you with me tonight? Now, you do what you want with that, but I'm just telling you, when you go parading around showing your thigh, God said, if the thigh is exposed, it's naked. It's nakedness. That's what he said. Look at chapter 20. Chapter 20 and verse number 25, chapter 20, same book, Exodus chapter 20, verse number 25. chapter 20, verse number 25. Chapter 20, verse number 25. He said, "Now, and if thou wilt make me an altar of stone, thou shalt not build it of hewn stone. For if thou lift up thy tool upon it, thou hast polluted it. Neither shalt thou go up by steps unto mine altar." God said, I want the altar on ground level. I don't want you walking up steps to the altar. Why? "That thy nakedness be not discovered thereon." I don't want you walking up a huge incline to the altar, because people look up underneath there and they'll see your thigh and your loin area, and that's nakedness. So he said, "I want the altar on ground level." And there's a lot of teaching in these verses in the book of Exodus, more than just on having the loins and the waist covered. But I want you to see the connection in all, and we're going to go to Isaiah next, the connection in all these places is with nakedness and a thigh being uncovered or exposed. Isaiah chapter 47. Isaiah chapter 47. Isaiah chapter 47. And verse number 1. Isaiah chapter 47 and verse number 1. Again, I want you to get the gist of the same thought pattern in all three passages. "Come down and sit in the dust, O virgin daughter of Babylon, sit on the ground. There is no throne, O daughter of the Chaldeans, for thou shalt no more be called tender and delicate. Take the millstones and grind meal, uncover thy locks, make bare the leg, uncover the thigh, pass over the rivers, thy nakedness shall be uncovered. Yea, thy shame shall be seen." Again, uncovering the thigh and nakedness are together, are put together. So now, exposed flesh on any gender, male or female, from the loin, the waist to the knees, God said that's nakedness. God wants our bodies covered. Cover the body. It's sacred. The body is sacred. Cover it. Okay? All right, what about from the waist up? Well, let's go to John chapter 21. Gospel of John chapter 21. And let's catch up with Jesus on the Sea of Galilee. Peter, John, other disciples are fishing. They have quit following Jesus. And they are now have returned to their life, their former life of commercial fishing. John chapter 21 and verse number 4. "But when the morning was now come, Jesus stood on the shore. But the disciples knew not that it was Jesus. Then Jesus saith unto them, Children, have ye any meat? They answered him, No. He said unto them," you know what he said, "Cast it out of the side of the boat. Therefore that disciple whom Jesus loved saith unto Peter, It's the Lord. Now when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he girt his fisher's coat unto him, for he was naked, and did cast himself into the sea." Now, let me ask you a question. Do you believe for 1 minute he's standing out there buck naked fishing? I don't think that's what's going on here, folks. Okay, Peter, you know, I don't want to be goofy, but I just don't think that's going on. But come on, what's he doing out in the water? It's hot. Sun rays are beating down. What's he done? Taking his shirt off. And when John said, "Peter, that's Jesus," what was the first thing he did? He covered up. But the Bible says he was naked, bare chested. By the way, was Peter backslidden at that point? Talk to me. Was he backslidden at that point? Sure he was. You know, it's very interesting. Very interesting to watch when people backslide. One of the first things they change is their attire. One of the first things, you know, we get saved at age 18, 20, 24, 30, and we start learning the Bible. Boy, we got to fix this, and I got to fix that, and I got to get going this way, and I got to get this taken care of, and I got to stop doing this and do this and get right about this and right about that. And then we backslide, and we get away from God. One of the first things that changes is apparel. And isn't it funny, when he got ready to go back to Jesus, first thing he did was fix his apparel. So, well, No, I've watched it. 28 years. It's a long time. 28 years. One of the first things they change is apparel. When they start getting away from God. Now, bottom line is this, folks. In exposed flesh for both genders, not just females, men too, exposed flesh from the shoulder to the knee, God considers nakedness. He considers that nakedness from the shoulder to the knee. Now, get covered up from the shoulder to the knee. That's biblical. That's proper adornment. That's proper. You know, and you say, well, I don't really care how man defines it. I'm interested in how does God define it? How does God define it? You know, now, ladies, what does this say then, particular to the female gender, about slits in skirts or dresses that are so high that the thigh is revealed? So you're picking. I'm not picking. I'm not picking. For more ways than, in more ways than one, I'm not picking. First of all, that's not orderly dress that sends the type message you want to send. Now, you know, dresses that come up above the knee and expose part of the thigh. Okay? God considers it nakedness. There is a proper order. What does this say about plunging necklines, plunging backlines? And look, just because you tag it wedding doesn't mean for 3 hours we can throw all of the standards of the Word of God out the door. I mean, that's the most amazing thing in the world. A girl spends 18, 20, 19, 22 years living pure and right and then wants to come on wedding day and because it's a wedding dress. Stay covered up. Now, look, we get all kinds of dress in here with our outreach. And again, I'm not talking about people that are new to us. I expect the families of this church who've been here over the years and heard the teaching and the preaching for years and years, you've been saying, I expect the female gender to cover themselves as God commanded. This is summertime. This is take your clothes off time. In some ways, I get tired of the cold, but in some way I like the cold better than the heat. Because, you know, you just put more clothes on. After a while, you walk like this, you know. But here, some of you guys that hunt, you go to the deer stand on a cold day, and you feel, I look like the Michelin man going to the deer stand, you know. I got, you know, 8 and 10 layers of clothes on, man. but you can only take so much off. Now, there's not a woman in this church in her right mind that would go out in a public place in her underclothing. But if we rename it and call it a bikini, it's okay. What? In some cases, it's, well, it covers less than what underclothing covers, but that's okay because there's water, you know, there's a big hole and water in it and call it a swimsuit, and it's fine. That's proper. No, the body is to be covered. It's to be covered. And what God considers nakedness is anything. I mean, look, ladies, you know, you girls, you young girls, you cannot get caught up in this, in the fashion that's popular today with these low rider skirts and these low rider jeans that guys are wearing. And these tops that come down just to the top of the skirt, every time you bend over, you're showing 4 inches of your belly or your back. That's between the shoulders and the thighs. You're not covered up. That's nakedness. You're picking. Well, call it, then I'm picking. Then I'm picking. Pick, 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 pick. I'm picking. You call it what you want to call it, but you're going to, you take it and show me where it's different, okay? So you say, well, what am I supposed to do? Cover up. Simple. Cover it. Make sure the tops are long enough. And by the way, I've wreaked havoc in my own house. When it's been this business of, you know, just coming down a half inch below the, we ain't doing this. No. Go put that on. Go. Change. The body is to be covered. It's to be covered. Now, number two, the body is to be covered so as not to draw attention to its form. So it's not enough just to be covered. Modest. Proper. I see women covered from the shoulder to the knee in a dress so tight there was no guessing left of the imagination. Oh, my. Huh? And by the way, that's what men have to do. Now, I know you, and I'm kind of being facetious here. I hope it's not the attitude of the women of this church. I hope you've been versed enough in the Word of God. But the women of the world, well, that's a man's problem. I don't think Jesus thought it was just a man's problem. I think Jesus said it was a man and a woman problem. In Matthew 6, I believe he was pretty clear about that. We can't help how God made us. Now, a man's not supposed to run. A man should never let his imagination run wild. And a man ought to have enough character. If a woman in a dress, I mean, had to put Vaseline to get on in it. You ought to have enough character to get your mind on something else. But it's not easy. If you got red blood in you, not easy. The Bible talks in Proverbs chapter 7, verse number 10, about the attire of an harlot. So a harlot has a particular attire. Harlot. Let's see. What kind of message would the attire of an harlot send? Something like, I'm available. Decent Christian women do not want to make themselves available through their dress. I would never think of that. Then don't let your clothes say it. Don't let your clothes say it. Modest apparel is that which does not entice a man to have lustful thoughts towards a woman. Ladies, if you're not available, don't advertise. And for heaven's sake, don't let your girls advertise. Don't let them advertise. Now, and I'm not talking about somebody new to our church. I'm talking about these. I'm talking folks that have been here for a couple, three, four Sundays here. We've had a very low plunging, ungodly low neckline. I mean, to the point where I shook hands last Sunday night. I did double. I said, "It can't be. What? That can't be. What? Oh my gracious!" Then I had to get my mind on something else. I mean, in a service. That's a shame. Not to mention wrong. Now, when I see that, the question I have is why? Why are you wearing clothes like that, especially at church? Maybe the question is, who are you after? Because that's an advertisement. You don't put something like that on and look in the mirror without thinking about that. And seeing it yourself and then choosing, I'm going in this. Who are you after? Now, there's only three conclusions I could come up with. Number one, you're either dumb and don't know what you're doing. But I rule that out. Number two, you're advertising for whoever will inquire. And that's really dumb itself. I said you're advertising. Now, you know, If you catch him, let me tell you why that's dumb. If you catch him without that, then any other woman more bountifully endowed than you can catch him away from you. Yep. So I wouldn't get into that little game. And by the way, if I continue to see it, I'll talk to it, to the dad. I'm not going to let it go on. And I'm going to say to the men and boys, I don't fault you for being attracted to a female body. That's kind of how God made us. I'm certainly not attracted to a man's body. There's nothing about a man's body that excites me. I'm glad I got one. I'm telling you. Honest to goodness. I'm sorry, but this crowd that's, I don't know, how in the world can you be attracted to a man? Oh. So I don't fault you for being attracted to a female's body, but I'll say this, I do fault you for being attracted to an advertising woman. Don't be attracted to an advertising. You don't want a wife who is going to advertise to others. Okay. Or, number three, you wear a thing like that to church, you're hunting for the precious life. And boy, that's what gets my dander up. Proverbs 6:26 says, the adulteress will hunt for the precious life. I know it's okay. Move, shift in your seat, take a breath. Okay, so. You can only sit like this for so long. Then you've got to move. So let's all shift in our seat and take a breath and exhale. Get some color back in your cheeks, okay? The adulteress will hunt for the precious life. You know what the word precious means? Valuable, rare, prized. Are you hunting for some married man here? You got some married man you're after? Or is there a teenage young man, a college-age boy you want to hook? If I'm the under-shepherd and the shepherd's supposed to guard and watch over the flock, that's what I'm doing. I'm not just watching for the grievous wolves. I'm watching for the women on the hunt. Now, you ladies need to understand something about a man. There's something more intriguing to a man about an improperly clothed woman than a completely naked woman. Now, and it's okay. It's okay if it's quiet in here, and it's, you know, it's okay. And I'm close to the fence post, and I understand that. Brother Brown called me on the way to church tonight. And, you know, the thing said block caller ID. I can't stand that. So I said, hello. He said, I heard his voice go, who is this? I said, oh, no. Brother Brown. I said, preacher, this is me, Brother Terry. But don't sound like you, Terry. Sound like you're drunk. I said, no. I'm not drunk. He said, I'm doing fine. He said, what you going to preach on tonight? I told him. He said, good night, you're going to commit suicide on a Sunday night. He said, there's a good church out here in Pleasantville, Iowa, just opened about 2 months ago. So if you need a place to go after tonight, just let me know. I said, I don't think it's going to be that bad, Brother Brown. Oh, me. There's something more intriguing about an improperly clothed woman. The improperly clothed woman, there's intrigue. There's no intrigue the other way. It is what it is. But an improperly clothed woman is intriguing to a man. And when you got this little flash of the thigh, see it, now you don't, now you see it, now you don't, now you see it, now you don't. Can I talk as a man for a minute? Forget that I'm the pastor. Look, because I'm not Superman. I'm not Superman. I'm a man. Can I say when that happens, you know, a man goes, whoop, whoop. It's intriguing. That's a shame to have to fool with that at church. I can understand having to fool with that at the mall, but at church? I'm just saying, look, to me it's black and white. Here it is. I mean, it's in the book. God put it in there. He thought enough about it to put it in the Bible. It's a pretty selected material right here that God gave us in these 66 books and these chapters in the Word of God. And He put enough in here about apparel to tell us to dress properly and orderly. Make sure you wear clothing that sends the proper message. I am a woman. But I'm not just a woman. I am a woman of good and decent behavior. I am not for advertisement. What I have is for my husband that I'm married to or the one that God will give me. No one else. That, my friend, sends the proper message. Amen. And that's how David wanted the ladies of his kingdom. And you take those principles of distinction and modesty, modest, orderly, and proper, sending a message, and you pass it down to those little girls, and you start them as little girls sending the proper message. And when they get to be 20 and 22, you don't change that. You send the proper message, and you go all the way through life sending the proper message with your dress. Because the moral character of any group is determined by the female gender. And we want to have a loose and fun service, but we don't want to have a loose moral character in this church. You get that, friend? All of a sudden, you got big time trouble. People running off with, I'm talking about a problem. You talk about a sickening thing. God basically has spared us from this for these years. And we'll tell you something. When it happens inside a church, it's a sickening thing. So be careful. Send the proper message. Let's pray together. Thank you for your attention tonight. Dear Lord, help us to please you. My heart's desire is not to build a following of Pastor Angel. My heart's desire is to build a following of folks who want to serve you and please you and honor you. And God, please, I just want to give the Bible, the principles of the Bible, help us to be right. And Lord, particularly the female gender, the ladies of this church, the girls, give them the grace, the humbleness, the gentleness, God, to send the proper message with their clothing. And Lord, may it be the right and decent message. And I'll thank you for it, God. Bless us tonight. We appreciate your book, what it teaches us. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Pastor Angel, I'm not saved. If I died right now, I don't know where I would spend eternity. I know you didn't preach about that tonight in the message, but I don't know that I'm saved. I come to church and hear songs about salvation and this about salvation, and I don't know that I'm saved. Pray for me. Would you raise your hand tonight? Let me pray for you if you're not sure that you're saved or on your way to heaven. I see a couple child's hands. God bless you. If you're not sure that you're saved, we give the invitation in just a little bit. You need to come to the front. Let somebody take a Bible and show you how to be saved. If anybody here needs to be baptized, you've been saved but not baptized in deep water since you've been saved. Pastor, I need to be baptized to follow the Lord in that ordinance. Would you raise your hand? Anybody like that? God bless you. If you come tonight prepared for baptism, we're ready right now. Why don't you slip out and come while we wait? Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. That's wonderful. And as they come, we'll prepare for baptism right now. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. That's wonderful. Brother Caleb will help them. All right. Pastor, pray for me. Heard the message tonight. I want my heart to be right. I want my spirit to be right. I want to send the proper message. I want to dress that way. Not only just in my dress, but in my heart, my spirit, and male or female. And something was a couple things said tonight that made me think. And I want to be humble enough to receive it. Pray for me. Would you slip your hand in the air, please, all over the place? I said, many hands. God bless you. Let's stand, please. Our heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Ladies, place a song of invitation. Would you come?